The FAA has nearly finished its task to award $1 billion of stimulus money to cities and towns across the country to improve airports. Now, even though the agency has urged 11 of the country's 30 busiest hubs to drastically improve safety standards on runways, that isn't where the money went. Instead, some of the smallest and least trafficked rural airports in the country are about to get stimulated. So joining us are two investigative reporters who have been following the stimulus money. Michael Graybell joins us from ProPublica, our partner in the Shovel Watch project, where we are tracking and reporting on stimulus spending. Also with us is Cheryl Atkinson of CBS News. She co-reported this airport story with Michael and traveled to upstate New York to interview members of a flying club at one of the airports receiving stimulus funds. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
And Mike, thanks for coming into the studio.
Good morning.
Cheryl, let's give some context here. I mean, it seems to me one of the principles of the stimulus package was to get improvements in civic infrastructure made that wouldn't happen otherwise. And so you'd think that small, out-of-the-way airports coming up to FAA standards might be a worthy goal of the stimulus package. But what did you find?
Well, this airport already met FAA standards. They simply repaved a perfectly good runway ahead of schedule because the money was there. It was a shovel-ready project. So I'm really not sure anything changed at the airport over what had previously been the case. It was already used as it is now since the runway has been repaved. Very little in the way of jobs. If anything was stimulated, they were unable to provide any statistics that support if any jobs were created or sustained, although the government, I think, is going to award that with a formula as having created 5 jobs. At most, I think it created maybe a half of a job.
A half of a job. Michael, what airport are we talking about here that at least served as the most egregious, apparently egregious example of this allocation of money?
This is the Williamson-Sotus Airport outside of Rochester, and it's owned by the Williamson Flying Club. And we checked the traffic there because it's technically a reliever airport for Rochester in case there's a lot of congestion. Rochester right now is not a very congested airport, and it's primarily used by members of the Flying Club.
And here's Cheryl Atkinson actually confronting the spokesperson for the Williamson Flying Club near Lake Ontario about this stimulus money.
Why shouldn't that cost be borne by the people who benefit from it and the local community and the state?
Well, I mean, the community can't raise that kind of money. Rural airports deserve to be safe and kept up as much as other airports do.
And you're saying that spokesperson there is saying that rural airports deserve the same attention that high-trafficked airports, Cheryl, it just doesn't wash in this particular case?
Well, here's the problem. And that was a spokesman for the Department of Transportation defending hundreds of millions of dollars that went to airports that are either little used or sort of only for niche populations, very specific populations, at a time of scarce resources and extreme needs. I mean, we have critical infrastructure needs, dire safety needs around the country. Congress didn't place any priority to projects that are pretty much ready to go and desperately needed for safety reasons or urgent reasons that are more important than just repaving a runway ahead of schedule because the money's there.
Michael Graybell, if you were to take the money that has gone to some of these smaller airports, and this is, again, is one example outside of Rochester, there are others, and I wonder if you could mention some of those. Where should that money go, do you think?
That's maybe something for your listeners. I think if you were to poll your listeners and ask them who got the biggest grants for airports, they'd probably take off a list of the busiest airports in the country. And we were surprised to find that there are some that serve villages of a couple hundred people. One of them is this village in Ouzinki in Alaska, which is on an island off of an island off the coast of Alaska, very remote community. But it depends on its airport to get to the grocery store. Residents have to fly just to buy groceries. Some of the other ones are...
Now, they might say, of course, that, hey, we can't get an ambulance here, so having
right.
a safe airport is useful to us. But you would say what?
Well, no, I think not all of these are bad. I think in our story we're sort of drawing a distinction that there are some that need it for health care. The big thing, though, is there's a lot of airports where most of us will never visit, never have an opportunity to fly into.
Cheryl Atkinson, is this something like the post 9/11 allocation of security money, which went out to places like Wyoming, which were never a threat, that there's some sort of political allocation of this money as opposed to really looking at what's needed?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know that it's political in the sense I couldn't find patterns of people rewarding, districts. It didn't look obvious. I don't know what Michael found. I didn't see anything like that. But there was just little thought put into, if we're going to invest a huge amount of taxpayer money in one fell swoop in the nation's infrastructure, there seemed to be very little thought into putting into the things that the country needs the most and the most urgently. Instead, it's kind of sprinkled around and spread around to anybody who could come up with any sort of application that fit the shovel-ready status. It didn't really matter what it was that they wanted to do. These were not, in many cases, urgent runways. In Ozinki, as Michael found, there's 165 residents who live there, so this expenditure works out to about $90,000 per resident. I think there are probably a lot more urgent things that that many people feel should have been done with their federal tax dollars.
You want to give us the last word, Michael? And again, it's $1 billion that's in play here with all these airports.
And one of the things that happened here was that there's a limit. Everyone is limited to $15 million per project and $20 million per airport board. So everyone's on the same playing field, whether you're Ozinki or whether you're the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which runs Newark, JFK, LaGuardia, Teterboro.
$15 million is just an absolute drop in the bucket.
Exactly. I mean,
that's like parking meters or something at those airports.
Yeah, the key is everyone has critical infrastructure needs, and how do we divide it?
All right, well, it's a part of our shovel-ready coverage, and Cheryl Atkinson, investigative reporter for CBS. The report will be on CBS Evening News tonight. Michael Graybell, investigative reporter for our partner ProPublica. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.